Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate you for being here. Appreciate the Lord and all his many blessings and how good he is to us. And I thank him for another privilege to assemble together and thankful for the good week that he's given. And appreciate the good reports. I checked in with several after the service Wednesday night and appreciate good reports of what went on, and of course, we missed y'all. Our heart was here, and just thank the Lord for folks that were obedient and did as the Lord would have them to do, and I appreciate that, and appreciate the Lord meeting with y'all, appreciate him meeting with us in the meeting up there, and appreciate everybody's prayers for safety traveling then while we were in the meeting, and two young teenage girls were saved in the meeting up there, and that's a great blessing, great encouragement to our heart, and got preached to. It's not all about, I didn't really go to preach. I knew the moderator said I would if the Lord led that way, but I went to be preached to. That's what I needed, some encouragement, and got that. Felt good in my heart up there. Felt good in my heart last night. Had a pull in my heart for the service this morning. Feel good in my heart today. And I appreciate the Lord for that. Appreciate you for praying for us. And it's good to be back with you this morning. Look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 15. If you have your Bibles this morning, Mark, chapter number 15. We'll read a few verses here and try to give you what's on our heart for the service this morning. Mark chapter number 15, we'll read a few verses in chapter 15 and then continue on into chapter 16 and read a few verses there as well and try to give you what's on our heart. And I understand that as we read this, of course, this is dealing with things about the end of the crucifixion and the resurrection. I know last Sunday was Easter and somebody would say, well, you should have preached this on Easter, but I didn't have it then, or I probably would have. But I feel this is what the Lord would have us to look at this morning. Had this thought stirring on my soul for several days in this scripture, and I want to try, if the Lord will help me, to give it to you and hope that it'll be a help, find its place in your heart, and to do the work that God has for it to do today. Mark chapter 15, when you found your place, and if you're physically able and willing, you'd stand. Of course, by standing, we're just reverencing the reading of the Word of God. I want to read a few verses, the last few verses of chapter 15, and then the first four of chapter 16, and try to give you what's on my heart for the service this morning. Mark 15, and we'll begin reading in verse number 42. The Bible said, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came, went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here, and as I said already, we understand the events that have taken place. The Lord's been delivered by the determinate counsel of God and given into the hands of wicked men by the order of the Jews, and they've crucified Him. And we've got to the end. He's made all of His cries from the cross. He's communed and spoken with His Father. He's asked Him why that He forsook Him. The Bible tells us that He who knew no sin was made to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible said that we know the grace of God. Now I'm amazed at the fact that all through the Bible and the Scriptures, it's apparent unto us that we are where we are and we are who we are because of the grace of God. You cannot separate grace from salvation or the work at Calvary. It was all because of grace. And the Bible said we know the grace of God, that though Christ was rich, yet He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And we understand what Paul was talking about when he spoke that one old preacher said that he who knew nothing about time stepped out of eternity and into time so that we one day after a while could step out of time and be with Him in eternity. And so that's why Christ has come. All the other things, I thought about a statement that I made not long ago. We read about all of the miracles that He did, how He raised the dead, how He healed the sick, how He gave sight to the blind. We read about every message that He preached. I think about that great sermon on the mount that He delivered there on the mountainside that encompasses about 3 chapters in the book of Matthew, and all the people were gathered together to hear Him. I think about all the times that He cast out the demons, all the times that He calmed the storm, all the time that He had fellowship with His disciples, and He taught them and instructed them and prepared them for the work and the job that they would have ahead of them. But we forget that all of those things that we read about, they were just stops along the main journey. He didn't come to perform miracles. He didn't come to be a great teacher. He didn't come to do all of that. But yet He did, because that He was the Son of God. But He came to die and to lay His life down for you and for me. Calvary was the final destination as far as His earthly work was concerned. That's why He came. When He was born in Bethlehem, Judea, the angel said, "There's a Savior that's born unto you." When He stepped out on the bank of the Jordan River, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that'll take away the sin of the world." Everything about His coming, everything about His life pointed to the fact that He did not come to live, but He came to die and to give Himself a ransom for all mankind. Of course, now He's died. The Bible said that Joseph of Arimathea's went and begged the body of Jesus. Pilate was interested how in the world that He was dead already. They didn't have to break His legs, which was a prophecy fulfilled, that no bone of Him should be broken. Pilate asked, questioned the centurion that was over the band that day if He really was dead. When he got confirmation, the Bible said that he gave the body to Joseph. Now I'm trying to get somewhere this morning, if God will help me. I mean, it's really on my heart to preach to you and to try to be a help and an encouragement to you. And maybe there's some things that need to be dealt with and got out of the way. I thought about, as Joseph took his body down, the Bible said he had bought fine linen and he wrapped the body of the Lord in it. He had a new tomb in a garden. The Bible said where never man was laid, Joseph took his own tomb and took the body of the Lord and laid Him in the tomb. And the Bible said he rolled a great stone before the door. And the Bible said in the last verse of chapter 15, that there were a couple of these women that would be in the same company with those that would come in chapter 16. The Bible said they beheld where he was laid. What the Bible meant by that is they saw all the circumstances about how Jesus was put in the tomb. They watched Joseph. The language reads that they watched Joseph and all that he did. They watched him wrap his body. They watched him carry him over, get him off the cross and carry him over to that tomb in the garden. They watched him lay him in the order that he was laid. They watched as Joseph cried and said, "I don't understand. I believe that you are the one. You are the Christ. We saw all these miracles that you did, how you raised the dead and healed the sick and gave sight to the blind and caused the lame to walk, how you cast out the devils and they were subject unto you. But now you're dead and I don't understand." And all the women wept that day, and Joseph no doubt wept that day, and they stood in silence with tears streaming down their face as it seemed like the final gesture that all hope was gone, and Joseph rolled the stone to seal the tomb. That was the Sabbath, or preparation for the Sabbath. If you read your Bible, Joseph defiled himself because he loved the Lord that much. He touched a dead body, and so he was excluded from the great ritual and the great ceremony on that next day. But the women went home in honor of the Sabbath, and they prepared themselves and prepared what they needed. The Bible said they had bought sweet spices in verse number 1 that they might come and anoint him. And so now 3 days are gone. They're going to get up on that first morning, the first day of the week, that Easter morning that we would say, and they are walking to the tomb. And the whole time I think, this is just my opinion, you don't have to agree with me, I just think it this way, it's the way it's in my heart. I think the whole time, all of them days of preparation, all of the trips to the market, all of the times of getting the spices ready, everything in preparation, the whole conversation is how we going to get that stone that Joseph rolled away. How we going to get it away from the stone, away from the tomb, out of the mouth of the tomb that we might go in. We can't handle it. We can't move it. We can't do anything about it. It's standing in our way. We want to go in. We want to get where he's at. We want to touch him. We want to anoint him. We want to give him everything that we can give him. But there's something standing in the way. And so they're walking that morning, and the conversation's not changed. It's in my heart this morning. I feel it in my heart. I want to help you. And they ask the question, who will roll us away the stone? And that's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to ask you, who's going to roll away the stone? What they were saying was, that's the very thing that's keeping us from doing what we need to do. That's the thing that is hindering us, preventing us, standing in the way of us getting in where the Lord is. That is the thing that is standing in our way. I mean, we've come, we've prepared, we want to give him what we've got, do everything we can, but there's something in the way. They're discussing it. You know why they're discussing it? Because they know if they're going to get in, it's going to have to be dealt with. And I'm going to tell you something. You may have come to church this morning, and in your heart, you want to get where he's at. In your heart, you want to give him what you got. Though it may not seem like much to you, kind of like, you know, old Mary was when she brought that alabaster box. I know that it cost a lot of money. I know that there's a bunch of murmuring about it. But to her, it wasn't much, but it is all she had. And she thought enough of God and enough of the Lord to give everything she had to him. But what if something stood in her way? Here you come this morning. I don't know what you got in your mind, what you got going on in your heart. We probably ain't going to shout this morning, but I feel in my heart the Lord's wanting to help somebody. And I asked Him to help somebody. It's on my heart. I sat last night and read this scripture, and it's just like it was afresh and anew. And I believe there's somebody that wants to get in, and you want to get where it's at. Maybe it's been. I thought about these women of the Bible, talked about how they followed the Lord just like the disciples, and they ministered to Him. It had probably been the longest amount of time they'd ever been without seeing Him these 3 days. And maybe some of you have come this morning and you feel like it's been a long time since you've been where He's at, and been a long time since you've got in with Him and Him with you. Been a long time since you've been able to give Him what you want to give Him. But you've come this morning wanting and a willing, but there's something in the way. It's going to have to be dealt with. That big stone. And I'm going to tell you something. They're walking down through there, and that's all that's on their mind. How are we going to get it gone? Who's going to roll away the stone? Now I'm going to tell you something. It was a problem to them, but it wasn't put there by them. It was put there by somebody else, but they knew it had to be dealt with. And maybe you're here this morning, and I'm not. I wanted to. I mean, please don't take that wrong, but sometimes it's easier for us to preach about what we've done, and we can get what we've done out of the way. I thought, Lord, will You let me preach on sin? Maybe there's sin standing in the way, and I wanted to, but He wouldn't let me, because I'm preaching to somebody that it's not what you've done that's standing in your way, but it's what somebody else has done, and you got to get it dealt with. It doesn't mean it's all going to vanish and go away. It doesn't mean that the hurt won't still be there, but what it means is that it will no longer separate you from Him, and you can get in where He's at if you'll just deal with it this morning. What is it that's standing in your way? I thought, you know, and some thoughts come to my mind about things that stand in our way, and there are plenty of them that we could preach about, plenty of things that we could mention. But the number one thing that came to my mind, and I might mention a few of the others that I had in my mind. I don't know whether I will or not. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. But I want to know if you've been offended. Is that what's standing in your way? Is it that stone of offense? The word offended, if you read it and if you study it in its literal meaning, it means to bring displeasure enough that will produce a hindrance. What that means is we come to the house of God, and it was mentioned this morning opening Sunday school. I don't think it was any coincidence. I believe God knew exactly what He's doing, but we come to the house of God and we can't get our mind off of what a brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or somebody in our family or somebody against our family has done or said. And it's nothing really that we've done, but they rolled a stone before the door and we can't get in where the Lord's at because we've been offended. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't deal with that and get it out of the door and out of the way, we'll stand on the outside forever and we'll never get in where He's at.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I don't know about their faith. I don't know about them. I don't know what they had in their mind. But it seems to me if they've been talking for all this time trying to figure out if they were going to have somebody or some way to get the stone away, it seems like they'd have took their husband or a couple of their husbands with them and said, we're not able. We need somebody to get the stone away. But they did not do so. You say, why? I don't know why you believe. But I believe they had someone the inside that said, just come on, I'll take care of it, it'll be all right. And so what I'm saying this morning is not that you have to move the stone. They didn't have to. They just had to be willing to go anyway. And it's not that you have to move the stone. It's not that you have to deal with it. It's that you got to get ready to deal with it and want to deal with it. And if you'll want to deal with it and if you want out of the way, God's big enough. There's no stone too big for Him. The Bible said this one was very great. I've seen a lot of people
over the years, and I'm young, I know, but I've been enough to know and went enough to know. I've seen a lot of people over the years that they've let little pebbles keep them out. They've let little stones keep them out. But I've seen a lot of people that really wanted in, but the stone was great and they didn't know how to deal with it. Some of you may not even understand until this morning, may not even be conscious to you until this morning what it is that's keeping you out. You've sat around and wondered, and I'm promising you I've been where you are. That's why I can preach from my heart this morning. You're sitting around and wondering, and the Holy Ghost has spoke to my heart this week, and I thank God for it. Brother Tim said it right this morning. Last Sunday, I just didn't have it. And I talked to one preacher up there, and I said, what do you do when you just ain't got it? He said, well, there ain't nothing you can do but tell your people you just ain't got it and go to the house. And maybe that's what we should have done last Sunday. But I'm not boasting or bragging. But in my heart, I've got it this morning. I know, I'm not talking about I've got a great insight or great power, but I've got a nudge from the Holy Ghost to preach to your heart and tell you there's something in the way, and God's going to have to deal with it. You say, well, I just can't. And please understand, I'm not belittling. I'm just trying to preach, okay? You say, well, you don't understand what they've done to me or what they've said. But I'm going to tell you what, as a day Jesus stood, he didn't do anything wrong. He's the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God. All he did was stand and preach that he was the way, and the only way to heaven was by him. And he looked at his disciples and all that multitude, and they murmured, and he said, does this offend you? And the Bible said, and if you want to read it, it's in John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him. They were offended. And he could have been. He could have been had such. Now, I'm going to tell you, it didn't thrill him to watch them walk away. I believe with tears running out his eyes, he looked at them, that 12, that faithful few, and he said, will you also go away? He said, if you're offended, it's time for you to go. In his heart, he was probably offended, but it did not lead him to being hindered. It doesn't mean the trouble goes away. It doesn't mean there's not still pain on the inside. It doesn't mean you're not still displeased with what somebody's done or what they've said. But you just don't let it matter so much that it gets between you and God. How would you feel? You are Christ, standing on a hillside, vast multitudes gathered, and all of a sudden, all of them go away. But it didn't hinder him. The Bible said he still set his face like a flint toward Calvary. What if it had hindered him? You say, well, you're preaching about somebody perfect. Yes, I am. And he's our pattern. And I know we can't be exactly like him, but we ought to strive to be every bit like him we can. The Bible said it's his will to conform us into the image of his dear son. And old preacher Mimi said it right this week. God's desire is to make little Jesuses out of every one of us. That's right. You can take that for how you want it. And I'm not being disrespectful, but that's exactly what he wants. And he wants us to love him and care about him. And I know we're going to be offended. I know people are going to do us wrong. I know they're going to say things that they ought not to say. And plenty of times say things and do things they don't really mean. And they don't even realize what they're doing. But are we going to let what they say and what they do come between us and God? How many days has it been? For them, 3 days felt like an eternity just to get back where he's at. And I'll be honest and admit, and you might as well, I'm going to tell you something, we're not going to get anywhere with God as an individual, as a family, as a church until we get honest. And I'll be honest, they say confession, you know, it's good for the soul. They've been days, it's been way longer than 3 days since I've been in where he's at. And there have been days I've let what people said and what people did offend me. And I didn't realize by them offending me, I thought I was doing something good. They criticized the ministry or criticized God or criticized the church or criticized the preacher. And I thought I was doing right in my flesh by getting angry with what they said. But the Bible don't say not get angry. It just says be angry and sin not. That's the hard part. Sometimes righteous indignation does well up and should well up within inside of us. But are we really going to let what somebody else said that will not matter in eternity? Are we going to let that separate us and God? Are we going to let some deed that somebody else did? Listen to me. I'm trying to preach on something that we have absolutely no control over. It was not up to the women. It was Joseph's choice to roll the stone in front of the door. But when they got where they needed to go, they had to be willing to deal with it. They could have sat home and said, like many church members do in our day, well, I want to go, and the Lord knows I want to go, but there's a stone there, and He knows I can't get in, so what's the use? Kind of like what was taught in Sunday school this morning. Well, you know, these days are bad and there ain't going to be nobody get saved and God can't send revival and God can't do this or do that. I mean, I'll go, but what's the use of me being prepared? What's the use of me praying? What's the use of me studying? What's the use in begging God for sinners? I say there's still a use. The stone may be in front of the door, but I serve a God that can take it away. Some of you, I know bits and pieces. Some of you, I don't know much of anything that's went on in your life. But I know in my heart, whether I know about you or not, and I mean, I know you, but just because I know you, even as your preacher, your pastor, doesn't mean I know about you. About what you faced this week or in weeks prior to this or what it is, how you've been offended, what's troubled you, what's bothered you, what you lay awake at night and turn over in your mind. You can't wrap your mind around it. You're wondering why they said what they said, why they did what they did. But little do you know as you ponder and think. And I'm not saying it has to be all mended. I'm not saying that everything has to be fixed back like it once did. But there's going to have to be a dealing with the stone in front of the door if you're ever going to get back where he's at. And all the while it's stirring and you're trying to figure out. And I'm not saying all of that process will go away. There's still days I lay in the bed and try to figure out why it was that people said what they said, did what they did, went the way that they went. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a blessed day in my life. And I'm not saying that them days won't come again. They probably will because I'm flesh. But what I'm trying to get in your heart this morning by the help of God is that it's not worth being shut outside from Him to sit and stew and ponder and think about all the things that coulda, shoulda, woulda. Let's just ask God to deal with the stone and let us in where He's at. If we can ever get in where He's at, it'll fix all the other stuff. See, that's what happened. They could have stayed at home that day. I'm just preaching. None of this is really, it didn't really come to me last night. It's coming as I'm preaching this morning because God knows what you need to hear. And I'm telling you this morning, they could have sat at the house and said, we thought He was the one. We staked everything on Him. We sold everything we had. We followed Him all these years. Now He's dead. What's the use in going down there? They could have sat together and maybe did. I don't know what they said. There's no record of it. We can kind of read between the lines knowing that they're flesh just like us. They probably sat together and said, did you see the way they treated Him? Did you see? The Bible leads me to believe that they stood and wept as they watched. Because Jesus looked at them and He said, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. And they probably said, did you see when they hit Him? I mean, who do they think they are treating our Lord that way? Did you see when they plucked his beard out? Did you see when they spit in his face? Did you see what the soldiers said? Did you see what they did? And they could have sat there and stewed on everything that everybody else had done wrong and forgot or missed out on the greatest opportunity they would ever have. But they went to the tomb. And on the way there, they're discussing this great stone that they know if they're going to do any good, if they're going to be able to do what's in their heart. I'm not talking about something that I'm standing up here telling you ought to do. I'm talking about something that's already in your heart that you want to do, but there's something in the way. There's something in the way. But they went. As they walk, they discuss this matter that's going to have to be dealt with. They're probably saying, I don't know. Maybe we ought not to come. I mean, we can't do anything with this. But the Bible said they looked and the stone was rolled away. You say, oh, preacher, but them angels rolled the stone out to let the Lord out. Oh, no. He done out. They didn't roll. You think they had to roll a stone away when they're gathered together for fear of the Jews in the upper room and they've got the door closed and the door never does open, but he appears in the midst of them? You think if he could walk through the wall, he couldn't walk through that stone? They didn't roll that stone away to let him out. They rolled that stone away to let them women in. And Peter and James and John, they rolled that stone away to let them in. You say, why do we need that? Because we need to meet with him. A dear brother preached this week out of Acts chapter 4. And it said, with great power were they witnesses of the resurrection. It's because they went in and saw he was alive and got where he was at. That's what gave them the power to be the witness. And if they needed the power, so do you and I. You say, how did I get that power? Well, you're going to have to get in where he is. You say, but there's a stone there. Just trust him and let him take care of it. You say, but you don't know what they've done. I don't know. But God in heaven does. And I'm going to tell you, we think that we've suffered. And I'm not making light of what you went through. But I'm talking about a Savior that suffered the wrath of God for all men. And what we go through ain't a drop in the bucket compared to what he went through. You say, you're not being compassionate. No, I am. What I'm saying is this, he knows where you are. And he knows what you're going through. And he suffered as you have. He has suffered and felt the loss of all things. He suffered people turning on him. He suffered people doing him wrong. He suffered people talking about him. He suffered people abandoning him. And he knows exactly where you are. And he wants you to come in just as much as you want to come in. Probably more than you want to come in. And all he's saying is, make the way. Make your way toward the tomb. Make your way to where I am. Make your way to where the stone is, and I'll take care of the stone and let you come in. But you're going to have to want to come before he'll do that. I'm done this morning. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. As we stand all over the house this morning, God speaking to your heart, I feel in my heart there's more than just one that needs to fall in this altar this morning. If you do or if you don't, that ain't nothing to me. That's between you and God. There's just something standing in the way. Some great stone. You say, preacher, it's not my fault. I realize that. That's what I've been preaching. It wasn't their fault. Joseph put it there, but it hindered them. God's wanting to fix it this morning. He's wanting to deal with the stone. He's wanting to roll it away let you come in. Let you be where it's been a day or two since you've been. Would you come this morning? Just be honest with God. Honest with yourself. That's all He's asking. I'm not asking for you to stand and tell everybody what you've went through or what it is. Nobody needs to know. That's between you and God. And He already knows. He just wants you to tell Him about it. He just wants you to make the way toward Him and watch Him take care. You say, that's so great, I could never deal with it. He understands that. And He's the one going to take care of it. But you're going to have to come to Him. You're going to have to be interested enough. You're going to have to want it enough to come to Him. To come to Him. Would you come this morning?